In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, the Christian life is a life of frustration. But if you can, and you really can't, and neither can I, but if you can, so go with me on this, leave all frustrations aside for one moment, except for one. And this frustration is huge, and it is common to every single one of us. It's a person, and it's the same person for every single one of us. It is so frustrating. You know who that person is? You. The Christian life is a life in which we are so frustrated, and rightly so, with ourselves. The sermon text is from Galatians chapter 5, our epistle reading. If you desire to follow along, it is in your bulletin, beginning with verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So you, dear saint, you, dear Christian, you, Holy Spirit-filled one, have desires, God-given desires, to love the God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. You have the desires of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness, things like these. You are a Christian. You have good desires. And you also are opposed to those desires. Within your very self, you are flesh and you are spirit. And so you are frustrated with yourself because you want to do things. You have the desires, but you do not have the ability to carry it out. As St. Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the works of the flesh. Our Lord gives us a plethora of these works, in part so that you, right here, right now, today, in hearing these words, can begin to evaluate yourself. That you are called to confess your sins, and in hearing these things, you begin to understand how many sins you have. The works of the flesh are these. Verse 19. I will read them slowly again, so that they enter your ear and that they go into your heart, and you are convicted, as will I be. Again. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Be convicted. That is a good thing. Be frustrated. That is a good thing. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Now, tops on the list are sexual sins. And I think the reason for this is so that we might understand that it isn't necessarily first and foremost the things in which we do. It is also the desires in which we have that are sinful. Now, sexual desire is not a bad thing in and of itself. The question with sexual desire is always, who is the object of this desire? Because God has given you, if you are married, a spouse that is a wonderful object for that desire. And it takes the gift of sexuality as the way that God has given it, as beautiful. But if the object goes elsewhere, in the eyes, with the body, or with the heart, then it takes that which is beautiful and it turns it into the thing that is so ugly and so dirty. Sorcery is another one. And I picked this one because I think it's a surprise. And I think it will surprise you in which what is the root of sorcery. It is control. A desire to control God. And a desire to control other people. And so ask yourself this question right here, right now. If I could control my work, if I could control my family, if I could control everybody around me, my government, anything, would I want to do it? Now, here's the Christian answer. No, I wouldn't want to do it. I have a God who loves me, who sent his son to die for me, who has promised that all things work together for the good of those who love him. And he has said, I am God. I am your God. I have the control. Wouldn't you want me to have it? Is that your answer, then?
No.
Portion, but not the complete. If you could control those things, would you want to? There was a news article in which there's an increased ability to figure out what children are before they're born. So you used to always, well, recently, figure out if they're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. And now you can begin to see what other things you begin to see too. And one of the things is, will they be healthy? Will they have this gene of mine? Will they be as athletic, et cetera, et cetera? And as these things increased, the question was asked, would you want to know it? And there was a fascinating answer that was in this news article. It was a woman, and she was not a Christian, and she wasn't even seemingly a believer of any sort of God in general. But her answer was, I wouldn't want to know it because I wouldn't trust myself with that knowledge. And that is a fascinating response. If you could control all of these things, part of you should recognize that you should not trust yourself to do the right thing. And that faith commends them to God and trusts him to do the right thing. What should you control? If sorcery has at its root the controlling of God and the controlling of others so that they might be in submission to you and do everything that you want, what should you control as a Christian? If sorcery is at its root at control, and that is a work of the flesh, how fascinating it is that one of the fruits of the Spirit is in fact related to control. But you know who that one that you're supposed to control is? Yourself. Self-control. Commending things to God. Controlling your own desires. Continuing on with the list, there's hatred, there's anger, and there's selfishness. All related, almost everything related to selfishness. And lack of thanksgiving might fit into the entire category of everything. So as Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, only one returned, recognizing what the source of this cleansing was from. Who the source of this cleansing was from. Who was the one that gave me this gift? And he came back and he thanked the Lord and fell at Jesus' feet with his face. And so here's a wonderful prayer that might crucify all of our fleshes together. Lord, I thank you for your gift of sexuality. Help me to receive it as you have given it. Lord, I thank you for the freedom to know that you are God. And I ask you to release from me the desire to control. Lord, I thank you for the gift of community and people that you have surrounded me with, however difficult and frustrating they might be. And I ask that you help me to pray for them, to listen to them, and to teach them your ways in patience, always commending them to you every day. Lord, I thank you that you have given me so many blessings, and that you have given so many blessings to other people. You have given different gifts to different people because you know that we are in fact different, and you know what best to give me and what best to give them. Help us all to use your blessings and your gifts to bless others. Amen. I thank you, Lord. Next time you're jealous and I'm jealous, if we set a prayer of thanksgiving for what that person has received, we recognize that we weren't the one that gave it, but that our Lord gave it, and that he has given us so many things. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, several things here. First, notice that the list isn't only different, the source is different. The flesh works, but the Spirit bears fruit. The works of the flesh come from here. They come from there. They come from within. You don't have to go very far to figure out who you should be frustrated with so often, because it should be you. But the Spirit also dwells within you as well. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the works of the flesh come from within. The works of the Spirit also come from within, but they primarily come from outside. Though the works of the flesh are promised to keep working all throughout your life, if you do not keep receiving the Holy Spirit in your ears, then you are not promised to have the Holy Spirit work within you as well. And so the Christian is always saying, Lord, help me receive your Spirit. Not, help me conjure up within myself love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I got to be more loving today. I got to be more self-controlling today. That is the Holy Spirit's work within you. Absolutely. You should say those things a bit. But the primary thing that you should be asking is, Lord, give me your Spirit. Because your Spirit is the one who works these things in me. And he might be working these things in me at different times, at different places, for different people, for different reasons. Lord, help me receive your Spirit. And then always to be reminded how it is that the Spirit promises to be present. He promises to be present in hearing. Going in here and producing the fruit. So you come to church and you hear the Word of God. And that Word of God is living and it is active and it is giving you the Spirit and is producing in you fruits that you might not even see. And that is fantastic. And you open up your Bibles at home and you read them with your families. And you have opportunities to come to Wednesday morning and Wednesday evening and Sunday mornings here as well. All so that you might receive the Spirit. All so that you might be more loving and peaceful and kind and gentle and more self-controlling. Because that is the way the Spirit works. He works through. Our text from last week had this beautiful question. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing through faith? You receive it through hearing, and what a wonderful gift to know that it is going out of the mouth and it is never returned void as you come to church. And the works in which the Spirit produces in you are ones in which are like the Lord. Do you all know any older married couples, or maybe they don't even have to be all that much older, but that the more you get to know them, the more that you see they're the same person, the more they become like each other as they become more united with each other. That is, in fact, the way our Lord works. As he unites you to himself in baptism, as he gives you his body and his blood to eat and to drink today, becoming a part of you, as he has given you his word that is going into your ear and into your heart, uniting himself to you, becoming in full communion with you, you begin to come more like him. And the primary thing in which he is God is, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. The summary word of them all. It could have just stopped there. But to unpack it a bit, it goes with joy and peace and patience to help us see that sadness is removed as sin is removed. As you come in the presence of the light and the Lord Jesus reminds you that he has shed his blood for you and that you are cleansed. You are pure. There is nothing that makes you guilty in the sight of God because the Lord Jesus has removed everything through his blood. And increasing in that is also kindness and goodness and gentleness. Reminding you that the Lord does not force himself on you but works in your hearts gently all throughout your life. And including in that is faithfulness and knowing that God has always been faithful to you and that he will continue to be faithful to you in his promises. And included in that is self-control, resting in the sure and complete confidence that the God who is in control loves you, wants what's best for you, is good and is good for you and has declared you forgiven and holy and righteous and begins to work in you a desire for his will to be done within yourself, even as well. So, dear frustrated ones, have peace. Have peace knowing so much happens in death, so much good. So much good happens in the resurrection. You'll be united to the ones in which you have lost. You will know for sure that the devil has been defeated. And among the many other things, your frustration with yourself will come to an end. Your prayer is right now, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But your prayer in the resurrection were, Lord, thank you for letting me see you as you are. And your love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. No, not self-control. I will say that. Towards me. You belong to Christ Jesus. You do not belong to the works of your flesh. You belong to Christ Jesus. You do not belong to your sin. You do not belong to death. You belong to Christ Jesus. You belong to the one in which you now hear that no law accuses you. Nothing can separate you from him because you belong to the one that is God above all things in heaven and on earth, and that there is no fit of anger and no dissension and no division between you and him because it has all been bridged by the very one who became flesh and lives for you even now. You're cleansed, and you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen.